first, I see Ellen is on, so I just want to wish Ellen a happy birthday. I wish she was here. I know, but you know what? Her Hebrew birthday was on Friday. So now she says, you're right, Rona. She has, now she says, now she gets to, since she's come to Bina, she gets to have two birthdays. So there we go. But you're right. The 7th of May, I know. So we'll wish her again. Welcome back. So now, last week we were doing, they were interesting, but I felt like it was a bit tedious. But hopefully today we'll move on and hopefully, I mean, I'm hoping it's interesting. If not, I hope you'll also be honest and tell me if it's too much something, too little, whatever. Anyways, but yeah, I need feedback. But last week we finished off with one thing that I rushed, and I want to just do, I'm sorry for the people on the Zoom, you don't have the copy of it, but the people who are sitting here can turn to page, let's see what number, I think you have it. I hope I made it. Do you have a page 6 or no on your thing? Or did I just start you from page 8? I don't know what I did by you. You don't have 6 either, right?
6.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah. Yay. Okay, good. Good. Excellent. Excellent. Okay. Or actually, to be honest, I think we're going to go straight to 7.
Yeah.
So what we'll do is we'll start on page 7. Just because the other things were from last week. I just wanted to quickly do a, just a 3 or 4 paragraphs of this idea inside. Last week we did this, the concept of judging others favorably that we learned out of the pasuk, which was funny because at the beginning we talked about judging honestly and fairly, and then we went on to judging favorably. And as we said, judging honestly and fairly, that's the court of law, that's the judges in a beis din. But when we're talking about just normal day-to-day human interaction, when we look at somebody, we don't have to be so honest, so to speak, in that sense. We have to be honest, but we don't have to be so fair, more relaxed in our judgments. And actually try very hard to find something positive and maybe even excuse the other person for what they're doing. So on page 9, and that was from the words, B'tzedek tishpay damisecha. So in your sheet on, I'm sorry for the people on the Zoom, you'll be able to have the insights soon, but just now we'll just have to listen. But on page number 7, if you look more towards, let me just see which part I want to read inside. I just wanted to read 3 or 4 paragraphs. Okay. So it's on the second column, and it says, it's the second column, and it's the third paragraph. Is der biur bazeh? I don't know if you see it in the third paragraph on the second column. B'shas min zeta in. So when you see another Jew, v'min der eibishter steltitzu greisen is yeinus, that Hashem gives him tremendous tests. Like he says, as parnasasai leilech bashuk, he has to, because of his earning of his living, he has to go out to the marketplace, the Ein of Royes, and he has all kinds of temptations that he's put in, you know, under. Is das gufa. So this fact itself, abavais, that's a proof, as der Eibishter, velcher is mevakesh, nur lefi kaicham, that Hashem, who asks each and every one of us according to our ability, hatem frier gegeben hecher kaiches, that means that Hashem must have given him extra strengths, extra abilities, extra inner strength, we must say, to ken and baikum, to be able to withstand shverer nisyanis, harsher tests. Der limud tzchus. So when we talk about milamed tzchus, which usually we translate just as finding something positive or maybe even excusing him. So here we say, what is the limud tzchus? Is nitnar atam of nit bashuldikin chaver, right? It's not just that we don't accuse him of something. So it's not just that we sort of wipe away what he's done and say, well, it's not really so wrong what he did or what he said or how he acted. That's not all. It's much deeper than that. Nor der mit wird euch arois gebracht. But what we are doing is we are bringing out, we are revealing der tzad haschus, the merit and the greatness of your friend. So something unique and special and an extra strength that your friend has. That as erhat kohay ben akoyches, that he has extra strengths, gegende afilu oif zu baikumin, genugende, enough, even to overcome azelche shveren esyenis, to overcome all these difficult challenges. And das is der teichen pnimi, and that's what the inner meaning is. Vehevei donis kala adam lekach schus. Das was ha'id is melamed schus oifim. So the fact that a Jew is, as we say, melamed, learns a schus on him, is by im megale. So what this does is, even though he might have done something wrong before, but now that you look at that person and you see that person and you say, he's obviously more tempted, therefore Hashem must have given him extra strengths and something that can enable him to overcome that challenge. When you do that, you actually reveal and bring daraisti behalten ekeiches. You reveal and you bring out, you draw out all that which is hidden up until now. That's why he unfortunately might have failed, but it was hidden, this extra strength. So now by you looking at him in this light, you draw it out, you reveal it, both to him. That's the most important thing, and he becomes more aware. And then the next time when he encounters the same temptation, hopefully he'll be able to overcome it. And that's the hope. That's the idea of Melamed Zchus. So it's an incredible power that, it's interesting because it means that we have quite a responsibility in how we draw conclusions about the people around us, because it really can affect the next decision that they make. So it's quite a powerful thing. And as he says, so that he should actually be able to beistein dinis, yainis, to overcome all the tests, ones vert seif seif batel hagnus, and at the end, all the negativity becomes nullified. And das is was the Rambam zok. That's why the Rambam says, as a Talmud Chacham is danis kol adam lekav schus, that a Talmud Chacham actually judges others favorably, misaper b'shvach haveira, he actually tells the praise of his friend, v'loy b'gnus eklal, and not the negativity. A Talmud Chacham amiti vas is done es kol adam l'kav schos, a true Talmud Chacham, who judges others favorably, verwandelt er seif seif gnusay shel chaveira in schos. I think we read this last time. So he exchanges. This Talmud Chacham, what he does is he exchanges the negativity, and he in turn makes it more of a positive thing. He enables the person, and then the person chooses correctly. So because when he looks at his friend's difficult challenges, what does he see? He sees the tremendous soul powers that this person had. So he doesn't say anything negative. Not only doesn't he say, he doesn't see anything negative, and to him, it's only the positive. So that was the responsibility, as we say. I just want to make sure this is on. Yeah, the responsibility that we say of Don Lukasmus. Now we're going to move on. Because the mitzvah, as we said at the beginning last week, we're leading up to the mitzvah of V'yahavta L'reacha Kamaycha. That's where we're getting to. That's the peak. But until we get there, we have a few no's, because that helps us to get there. So today we're going to continue, and we're going to do a few of the mitzvahs that are actually quite famous, but quite beautiful to see how the pasuk puts it and the order, because it teaches us so many beautiful lessons. So now, on page 8, that's the beginning of today's, we are going to do the new pasukim. So today, we'll read the pasukim and the rashis, and then we'll see in depth. So we will see today, we will read... Okay, you know, we'll probably read the three psukim, even though we're only going to learn in depth the first two. But let's see. Loi, the first famous pasuk tezayin, it says loi on page number 8, loi seilech rochil ba'amecha. And we have to translate that word, but here they translate, you shall not go about gossiping among your people. And the word for gossiping that the pasuk uses is rochil, and we'll have to understand why rochil is gossiping. We'll see what Rachel means and how it connects to gossiping. Okay, first thing, don't go about gossiping. Then the pasuk tells us, and this is another command, Loi sa'amayd, you shall not stand, al dam re'echa, over the blood of your friend, ani Hashem, I am Hashem. Just want to see one more pasuk, and then we'll come back and understand. The next pasuk tells us, Loi sisna es achicha bilbavecha, do not hate your brother. This is on page number 10. You shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall reprove your fellow. And you shall not bear a sin because of him. And then we go on. You shall not take revenge. You shall not bear a grudge on the members of your people. And then we finally get to V'yahavta l'reacha kamaycha. You shall love your fellow as yourself, Ani Hashem, I am God. Okay, let's come back to our first thing. So the first thing that we mentioned was, you should not go about gossiping. Okay, so the word that's used is an interesting word. I know for some of us it doesn't make a difference which word, but rochil doesn't really mean gossip. I don't know if you know what rochil is. It's not the same as rochil. It's rachil. I know, it's not. It's spelled differently. Oh, this is it. Very good, Rona. That's the word. Rechilus. Excellent. That's it. This is the word. Rechilus is from here. So let's understand what does this word mean? And that's what we call rechilus is, gossiping. Okay, let's see. Let's see what it is. So if you look into Rashi, Rashi will tell us. So it's on back to page number 8. If you look on page number 8, Lo Selech Rachel. You shall not go about gossiping. So Rashi says, Ani Oimer, I say, Al Shem Shekol Mishalche Midanim, all those that instigate bad will, like make all kinds of, you know, fights amongst people, Umisapre Lashon Hara, and who relate malicious talk, Holchim, how do they do it? What's the method? Holchim Bibote Re'ehem, they go to their fellows' houses, Liragel Mayiru Ra, to spy. You see, the word ragel is like the miraglin, right? The ragel is to spy. So they go to spy out whatever bad they may see. As we know, the gossipers are usually the people of, in Yiddish we'd say, who are yentis, who go around and try very hard to find out exactly what's doing by everybody else. And then what do? As you says, what they might see, or mayishmara, or something bad they might hear. The saper bashuk, to relate the bad which they saw or heard in the marketplace. That's what they want to do. They want to be able to share it, to spread it amongst the public. And they are called nikraim holchei rochel. They are called those who go about gossiping, which is linguistically interesting according to Rashi. He connects it to the word holchei regila, those who go about spying. So he's saying the word rochel is connected to the word Ragil, which is, one is with a chaf and one is with a gimel. What's the connection? How can you say it's the same? It's a totally different word. One is, well, we're translating it as gossiping. Ragil is to spy, but it's a gimel and a chaf. So where does he connect them? So let's see, he says something very interesting. Urayil idvar, right? So there's a proof to my word, shalom matzino rechilus, that we have not found the word rechilus used for gossiping. Firstly, he proves that gossiping has to do with moving around a lot. The truth is, I think if you would have like a caricature, you know, if you think about somebody who gossips, you actually picture somebody who doesn't sit still. It's like somebody who's very, you know, I don't know, just constantly moving around, right? And their eyes are darting and their ears are, you know, that's the only way they can find out the information. But the truth is that it's true. That's the imagery that you pick up. So Rashi says, that's why in the psukim, whenever it has the word rechilus, it actually always has the word halicha, going with him. So he's always moving around. This person is constantly moving. And he brings a few proofs from the psukim. I want to skip that and go to the next paragraph. Because then he says, but I still want to understand how you connect it to that word ragil, spy. If it's a chaf and here's a gimel, two different words. Lekachani aimer shahaloshen hoylech umiragel. That this expression, see it's in the bottom paragraph, this expression of hoylech ragil, which means to go and spy, shahakof nechlefes begimel. Why and how do we do that? What does that mean? That means that he is saying that we can take the chaf and we can interchange it with the gimel. Where did he get the right to do that from? That's a very interesting thing with diktuk, and Leah can help us. Because in the Hebrew language, there are 22 letters of the alphabet, and there are different categories, right, of the letters. So the famous one that we know is the aleph, hey, ches, ayin. Those are the guttural sounds. But then there are other groupings. So interestingly enough, the kaf and the gimel belong to one group. Which group is that? That's, in English they say the group of the palate. It's like the group of the cheek. I don't know, it's the hardest one to really, because there's the tongue, there's the teeth, you know, all the ones, that's right. But this one is the cheek. I'll show you, you know what, if you look on the bottom, I'll show you in the article, they actually are very helpful. If you look at note number 7 in the bottom of the sheet, you see here it says, the 22 letters of the aleph beis are classified according to the speech organs used in their pronunciation. Thus the letters aleph, this is the most famous ones, aleph, hey, ches, and ayin have their origin in the throat and called Isis hagarin, the Isis granius. Then the guttural ones, then you have Isis hachech. As he said, the gimel, the yud, the kaf, and the kuf. The chaf and the kuf. So the gimel and the chaf are in the same category. And according to Rashi, you are permitted sometimes to interchange letters. This is part of the Lashon Kodesh that are in the same category. So you can substitute. So therefore they are connected. The two words, although they are really totally different, but they are very interconnected. And over here we can see that's how we see, so to speak, the source of what the word means. You can see the other ones, interesting, the other ones are, it says, the letters of the tongue are Dalid, and you can, that one you can figure out because you use the tongue to say Dalid, tes, lamid, nun, and tuf. Those are all for the tongue. And then we say the zayin, the samach, the tzadik, the resh, and the shin are the ones of the teeth, right? The dental ones. Oisiyas hashinayim. Anyways, interesting. So apparently anytime, this is one of the methods that is used. So rachil and ragil in this context of regel, which does mean to walk, but it means to spy more, is the same thing. Okay, we're going to come back. This is just a technical thing, but it's just interesting. Because now let's go to page number 9. I want to continue with the Rashi, because he's going to show us even more about what the person does. So let's go to the second paragraph in the Rashi. Before we go to the second paragraph, I want to just show you how he says what this Rachel used to do. So we said just now it's like spying, but there's another common thing that we translate the Rachel. The Rachel is a peddler, a Rachel is a peddler, right? That's the more famous one that we know. And what does a peddler do? As Rashi says, we know. What does a peddler do? He goes around, but he ties still both things together. Because he says, what makes a peddler successful? He goes around and he spies for merchandise, and he buys the bargains, and then he's able to sell it at a higher price. So a peddler also has to spy. That's how he works. That's his method of working, so to speak. So again, both words are connected. But what's the connection between a peddler and the gossiping? So that we also understand. It's used the word, he peddles gossip. That's what he does. He goes from one place to the other, selling his merchandise, whatever, all the secrets that he found out. Okay, let's go to the bottom paragraph where it says v'targumay on page 9. So the targum says loy seilech rochel loy seichal kurtzin. It's very interesting, which means literally do not eat of winking. This is a very interesting thing. What does eat of winking mean? So he says, he brings a very interesting thing. The targum says they ate at the winking of the Jews, which meant they slandered the Jews. And he ate of the winking against him, which means he slandered him in the house of the king. So what? Where does it come in? So he says, it appears in my eyes, this Rashi explains, Shahaya mishpatam, that their practice was, le'echol, to eat, bebeis ha-mekabel divrehem, shum hal-ota, they would eat some mouthful in the house of the one who received their words of gossip, v'hu gmar chizuk. And it's interesting, it was a sign of final affirmation. Like, in other words, that his words were authentic and were accepted. V'yamideim al ha-emes, and he could vouch for their truth. V'aysa hal-ota, that mouthful, nikras achilas kurtzin, is eating of winking. Very interesting thing. He says, though such is the way of all those who gossip, to wink with their eyes, lirmais divrei richilusehen, and to communicate by means of gesture the words of their gossip, so that the other listeners should not understand. It's a very interesting concept, but as he explains, this is just how it used to happen. I just wanted to see if the bottom... Yes, if you look at number 13, it says, the Ramban explains on the bottom, note number 13, the recipient of the gossip would give the gossiper food to show that he believed what the gossiper told him. So this was the way it worked. So this is gossip. Gossip is taking information and sharing it. But it's interesting because it's interesting to know how halachically rechilus has its own category, Lashon Hara has its own category, Maitzi Shemra is another one, giving out a bad reputation. But most of the time, the Rechilus is not lies. These are not even things that you're making up. These are things that are actually happening. But what's the problem? The problem is that you're sharing information that is not necessary for you to share. Information that you might have seen when others didn't. You see, it's sort of things that would have gone under the radar. And either, as he said over here, you were looking out for it, which you shouldn't have been, okay? Or even if you were in the wrong place at the right time, whatever it may be, and you happen to see something, obviously it's not your business to go and share it with others. Now, very fascinating. There are a few beautiful mefarshim about this, because also the end of the pasuk is interesting, because we said at the end of the pasuk, you shall not stand by the blood of your friend. Okay, so this is interesting what the connection is between these two. And before we go into understand the connection, I want to just do one more Rashi, and the Rashi of that, and then we're going to see how it works, how it connects. Okay, so we say like this. Still on the bottom of the same page number 9, it says, Loi samayz al dam re'echa, you shall not stand over the blood of your friend. What does that mean? Rashi says, Lir ois bimbi sasai, to See how he says it. So goes to page number 10 to view his death. Va'ata yachal la'atziloi. When you are able to save him. And Rashi gives us an example. Kigain, for instance, you must save Toiveya binahar, one who is drowning in a river. V'chaya, if, and here they say or, but really v'chaya means and. And we're going to see why it makes such a difference, because I'm going to explain the Rashi. It's interesting, the Rashi is very exact. So if you see somebody that you think you can save them, right, and he looks like he's in danger, and the example that Rashi gives is he's drowning in a river, and an animal or bandits, ba'im olav, are coming upon him. What does this mean? What's Rashi telling us here? It's a very interesting Rashi. It's very, very exact. Because this mitzvah is a hard mitzvah, because how do we know when, so to speak, we have to save somebody else? Sometimes when another person is in danger, if we would step in to save them, we will be endangering ourselves, right? And that could be a problem. So an example might be where we would be endangering ourselves is if we become aware, let's say one night, I don't know, we hear screams and somebody is outside alone at a little bit of a distance and there's nobody around. Okay, we heard the scream, but whatever it may be, and we're the only one around. If we go outside, we can be putting ourselves in the same danger that they're in. Are we responsible to do that? Here it says, don't stand by the blood of your friend. So the truth is, obviously, if by you going to save your friend, you're going to put yourself in the same danger that they're in, no, you're not responsible to do that. Your life, as we know, comes first, in a sense. Obviously, what would be the point of both of you dying? So what is Rashi saying here? So I saw a very beautiful insight in how we read this Rashi. Rashi's telling us that obviously, and here also, Rashi's not just teaching us that if it's obvious that you can save your friend, you save your friend, because that's obvious. Because we even try to save somebody else if they're going to have financial loss. So for sure, if somebody's going to be hurt, we would for sure run out and save them if it doesn't endanger our life, right? So what is this pasuk saying? So this pasuk is a very specific kind of a scenario where if you hear or see somebody who's in danger, right, danger of their life, with two criteria that you have. A, you are not sure if you should go out because it does pose a risk to yourself. Not a for sure risk. Not like for sure you're going to die. No, but it's a risk. There's a risk. But at the same time, there has to be another important part. But you have to feel that even though you're risking yourself, you have the ability to save the other. Not that you are going out on a wild goose chase, but you really feel, I mean, you're never for sure, but you're quite confident that you have the ability when you step in. Yes, you might be posing a risk to yourself, not endangering your life, but a risk, but you can save the other. You see the words he says, Va'ata yochol hatzilai. You are able to save him. You are sure of that. And then Rashi gives us an example. What kind of a scenario would play out for that? So he says like this. Imagine if it's somebody like we say on by himself in the middle of the night on the road. Well, that's no. Then you can't save him. You're going to be in danger. First of all, who says you're even going to be able to save him? And second of all, you'll probably be in the same danger. So here Rashi gives a very, it sounds a bit far-fetched, but actually it says it's quite a, like, might happen, like something. Imagine somebody's swimming, I don't know, hopefully not in a wild beach, but just in a normal beach. And, I don't know, a wind comes or he gets tired. More likely that the person themselves gets very, very tired. And you see that it looks like they're drowning, right? They start throwing up their hands and they look like they're in danger of drowning. And you're standing there and you have to make a decision, should I jump in and save them? So, there's another part to the thing. If the person is drowning, and you are able to save them, that's not even a question. Of course you have to jump in. That's not what the pasuk's telling us, because that's for sure. What is the pasuk telling us? There's another added part to it. So this person looks like he's drowning. You're fine. You're strong. You're fine. But there's a different dimension. There could be an animal there. Look what Rashi says. Chaya. Or bandits. Now, why doesn't that absolutely pose a danger to you? Because Rashi didn't say chaya ra. He doesn't say a wild animal. He says an animal. Why? What's the point of that? It's very interesting. I know I'm very, very technical, but it's quite amazing what we can learn from every word. If it's a wild animal, well, then you're going to be putting yourself in the same danger as him. Because as soon as you jump in to save, then the animal will turn from him to you, right? What's the point? If it's an ordinary animal, why is that person in danger? only because he's weak, right? He's somehow overcome by the water, and he's, you know, his hands are failing, and the animal sees a weak person, first of all, sees a vulnerable person, is more ready to attack. Second of all, because he's weaker, he's in more danger. But you who are going to jump in, this is just an ordinary animal that when he sees you, will turn around and run away, which most animals will do. Most animals don't, as we know, try to, I mean, not a shark will, but most animals won't. Most animals will turn away when they see a strong person who gives off a confidence. They won't start up with them. So you see here, and the interesting thing, he gives also the example of bandits. He says it, listim, which after the word chaya, because we're talking about, again, not dangerous bandits, not armed ones, but people who will only start up with somebody who looks vulnerable. So when you step into the situation, they'll turn around and say, it's not worth it, we will run. And then, in that case, you should step in, and you are responsible to step in and help save the other person. You are risking, but not endangering your life, if you know what I'm saying. So there's always, obviously, it's a split moment decision usually, and it's sometimes difficult to make that decision. And we know, we hear stories of people who make the decision wrong, unfortunately, and they do end up being, you know, hurt and whatever, or even passing away. But that's obviously whatever, that's but we're talking about the halacha, so here, this is the halacha. It's fascinating. An interesting thing also we learn, that if a person, also why it says this as a, like, chai, that the person is, he's drowning in a river, and if an animal or a bandit is coming upon him, if a person, to begin with, goes into a situation which is dangerous, you are not responsible to save his life, because he shouldn't have done it. But here he went swimming. He didn't know that he would feel tired. He didn't know the big wave would come, whatever it may be. And therefore, he didn't, to begin with, put himself in danger. He just found himself in a dangerous position. And now you are able to save him. I want to show you something very beautiful, a lesson from it. We're going to come back, but I just wanted you to turn to, in your book, in your booklet, just turn to page... Oh, there's a number 14. Actually, it's the same. Anyways, we're going to go to that next. I think it's the next page, and I'll find it here. A very beautiful lesson we can learn also from here for us. Okay. So he says, what's the lesson for us? That hopefully, we don't watch people drowning every day, and hopefully, we don't see people in danger of their life every day. But what we do see is something else. Let me show you something beautiful. Miyena, see number 14, Miyena Shelter Shebeperish Rashi, which means literally the wine, like the beautiful part, the lesson for us. So let's see. Yadua piskam Baal Shem Tov, it is known what the Baal Shem Tov teaches us. Shekol Masha Yehudi Roya, everything that a Jew sees, Aisha Meya, or hears. Tzarech Lilmaid Mizeh Hayra Bavaydasa Elokaina, he has to learn a lesson in the service of his Maker. Vilach Ayra Hadvar Mukhrachim in Maimar Chazal. Seemingly, we learn this. This is absolutely, you know, compelling from what the Chazal tell us. Kol Masha Bara Kadosh Baruch Hu Ba'Olamai, everything that Hashem created in the world. Lai bara davar echad levatala, he didn't create anything at all with no purpose, right? So therefore, obviously, if you see something, there's a purpose, and there's something that you can use it to serve Hashem. V'chol ma shebara HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'ilamai, lai bara ela l'chvaydai, everything Hashem created, he created for his glory, for his honor. Shem yizeh muvan d'kishe adam raya ishemei eizeh davar, so we understand that if a person sees or hears something, im kein tzarech, Liyais, so must be sheshmiya ayriyazu, that this hearing or this seeing ainay levatala, it's definitely not for nothing. Va'aydais shehi lechvaydai, but it's even more than that. It's also for the glory of Hashem, which means that you can use it to serve Hashem. This is, we must say, v'zeu teichen divrei Baal Shem Tov. This is what the Baal Shem Tov means. Sha'adam tzarech lenatzel shmiya ayriyazu la'avaydasa yisbarech, that whatever person sees or hears, he has to use that opportunity in a way that he can serve Hashem with it. Which, we, as we say, tachlis b'riyasa, the purpose of his creation, nivresi l'shamesh eskaini, I have been created to serve my Maker. And he says, this is from a sicha that Rebbe explains beautifully, that this is what Rashi is telling us. This is what Rashi is hinting in the simple words. Seems technical, but it's so deep and meaningful. V'yesh loymer shezeu haremez b'loshen Rashi. Lirais b'misasa, Rashi said, you see, the person, he looks like he's going to die, right? He looks like he's drowning. And you can save him, right? We said you're in the position that if you feel confident that you could save him. So he says, one is dependent on the other. The fact, sha'ata roya es chavercha b'sakonas misa, the fact that you see your friend in danger of his life, and here obviously we're talking more spiritually, not necessarily physically, spiritually or in other ways. As he says, harezu haychacha, this is a proof, the fact that you see it, that you notice somebody else in danger, is a proof, sha'ata yachal la'atzilai, that you can save him. Because if not, you wouldn't see it. Hashem wouldn't put you in that position, that you should have noticed what you did. When you see something, so it's an interesting thing, this is quite a heightened consciousness that we say that when we're walking through the streets or we're shopping or whatever we're doing all the normal day to day, we happen to bump into somebody, we happen to see something, in a way the opposite of what we mentioned before about the gossiping, but more the idea that we notice somebody in trouble, and what should it lead our mind to immediately? If I noticed, must be, the reason I noticed is, there's something I can do to help that person. Somehow, I am the one Hashem wanted me to see it, because I'm the one that could help the person. As he says, harezu l'chacha sha'atu yachal atzila, you can save him. Shenitan l'cha ha'kayach l'atzila, that you have been given the strength to save him. De'im lo'ikein madua harez l'chazais, if not, why did Hashem show you this? Harei loy bara kadosh baruch hu davar echad, and Hashem doesn't create anything, kailel gam re'iyazu, also this seeing that you see, Hashem didn't create it, for nothing. Levatala. Must be there's something you can do about it. This is a specific lesson for our generation specifically. Shaharbe me'achenu b'nei Yisrael. Many of our brothers nimtza'im be... I do know it and I forgot now. Sorry. B'matzav shel sakanas tviya ruchnias. It's something like Hashem should help. Anyway, so that's what it is. Yeah, because of our sin, that's right. Because of our, unfortunately, because we're not 100%. Anyways, many people find themselves in the danger of drowning spiritually. And we therefore, Shehzira Torah, Lo Yisam Lo Dal Damreacha, the Torah tells us we shouldn't stand by the blood of our friend, Umutal, and it's actually the responsibility, I'll call Echad Ve'echad HaChiyuv, La'aseis Kechol Masha Bi'echoltai, La'atzilam U'la'achiyesis Nafshem, to save them. We all have the responsibility to do whatever we can to save them, to help them when we see somebody else in danger spiritually. V'im Yavai HaYetzer B'tayna, now if the Yetzer comes and he tells us, which he does, Mi Ani, who am I, Uma Ani, and what am I, She'uchal L'Hachayeses Nafshe Shel HaSheni, that I should be able to give life to my friend. I'm nobody, and I know nothing, and I've come from nothing, so what? How can I possibly help them? Hine Azeh Aymer Rashi, so Rashi says, Lirais B'misasai, you have to read it differently a little bit, you will stand by and watch the other person die. Va'ata yachal la'atziloi, and you can save them. Like, that's the worst thing possible. U'kniskar le'il b'peirish ha'dvarim de'zeh gufa. The fact that you see it, sha'ata raya b'misasai, that you see that he's drowning, that he looks like he's almost dying, she'igia la'hakarascha, that somehow reached your knowledge, your recognition, v'yidiyascha, asher ploini hu b'matzav kazeh, that so-and-so is in this situation, that's an absolute proof that you can save them. That you were given the strength, and even stronger, the Rebbe says, and actually it's dependent on you. Hashem is giving you the job. It's your responsibility. It's like quite heavy, but quite powerful to do what? And he says, "Lach lahoshiv ulahachiyes es nafshei, to restore, to make the person alive again." Al yidei haTorah mitzvus, through Torah mitzvus, she taseik b'hafatzas haTorah v'yadus, that you should involve yourself in trying to spread Yiddishkeit whichever way you can. Al yidei pulas kol echad v'achas, and through meitanu, and through the actions of each and every one of us, l'karev es liban shel Yisrael l'avinu shel bashamayim, to bring the hearts of every single Jew closer to our Father in heaven. We actually bring closer the coming of Mashiach. Sheyakov kol Yisrael leilechba, and when Mashiach will come, he will actually compel everybody to go in the right way. Ulachazik bitkan, to strengthen themselves in serving Hashem. B'mheira b'yameinu mamish. So it's a very powerful.
Yes. I'm laughing because in Israel, it's so contradicting. They say hadatah, they say kfiyadatid, they say whatever you try to say to someone, that to, it's not keep like for Shabbat. No, don't tell me how to do that. So people are not interested at all to know
what to do. So this is interesting. You know what's interesting? Because we're going to see it's going to connect soon. We're going to come to the next pasuk, which, as we said, was to like tell, you know, right? Which is to tell your friend when you see them doing something wrong. And we're going to see the intricacies of the halacha. But just in a general way, Leah, you're right. That it's you have to do it smartly, obviously. Because
they're stopping in some places, forcing.
So I saw a very beautiful story. There was a very beautiful story of, and I have to remember who this gadol was. It was a very, very nice story of, it was one of the gedolim, but, oh, actually it's interesting, it was the Kapishnitzer Rebbe. He was actually known to be have a lot of Avos Yisrael. I think he survived the war, and he went to America. And very fascinating. It says that he saw one time in New York, so he wasn't in Israel, it was in New York, and he saw whatever two young people, they were smoking and blatantly in a chutzpahdik away in front of him on Shabbos. It was really not a nice thing to do. And here he was a Rebbe, and they're there. Anyways, so he started to tell them, it's Shabbos today, he says. So they said to him, this is America, don't you know what we say in America? Mind your own business. Exactly what they say, right? Mind your own business. So he turned to them and he said like this, he says, now imagine, he said, not imagine, he didn't even say it like that, he just said, if you turn around and you see a little child running into the street and there's a car coming at him, you know, 100 miles an hour, what are you going to do? You're going to say, mind your own business? So they said, of course we won't say mind your own business, we'll go and, you know, try it. So he said to them, and he actually started to cry because he really cared. And this is, we're going to see a very big component of it. If you don't, it doesn't matter to you, better not to open your mouth. But if you truly care. So he said to them, he started to cry. He said, to me, it's like you're putting yourself in front of the car. And he actually started to cry sincerely. And the story goes that over the next day, they were so touched by his love, because they felt his love, that over the next few weeks they would dafke come over and say good Shabbos to him and like act as respectfully as they could, because they felt bad for how they had acted. But Leah, you're right, there is an issue, and that's what we're going to come to. So that's why we have to figure out how we do it. But the mindset for us has to be in a sense that we have a certain responsibility, but obviously we have to be able to do it the right way and take the recipients into account. And that's
and a different generation.
And
don't tell me what to do.
That's it. Mind your own business. Exactly right. So we're going to get to that. We're going to get to that soon. But let's go now back to understand this one, this mitzvah itself, because it's a very good point. Let's see. Shaloi L'Ragel. So still on the same page 14. There's that one that you had, the 14, but we're going to go back to the other column where it says a number 11. Okay, because we didn't do these. This will explain this mitzvah according number 11. It's on that same page, right? So that it has a four. So it says like this: Shaloi L'Ragel, that we shouldn't go around gossiping. So the Sefer HaChinuch tells us this is quite simple for us to understand. It's logical. Why shouldn't we gossip? Why does the Torah tell us not to gossip? What's the Torah's business? What we say, especially if you think about it, gossiping, it's a funny kind of a thing because we know it's bad in a sense, but sometimes we don't think it's so bad. Like if it's a little thing, I don't know, you notice somebody's dress isn't, stupid things. What's the big deal if we gossip a little bit? And human nature is that we do gossip, and it sometimes gives us something to say. We make conversation, so to speak. What's so bad? So let's hear what he says. Mishor Sheh Mitzvah. So the Sefer HaChinuch explains to us what's the root of this mitzvah. Ki Hashem chafetz b'tovas habriyas. Hashem wants the good of his creations. Asher bara, that he created. V'tzivanu bazeh, he commanded us in this kedei. It's number 11. Do you see an 11 there? Is it cut off or is it? So he says, and Hashem, that he wants, he commanded in order that there should be peace between us. Ki harechilus, because gossiping, siba l'riv u'matza. No question about it. Gossiping is what brings division. It brings arguments. Absolutely. Prate ha-mitzvah, he gives a few examples of what the mitzvah, what the meaning of the mitzvah, not the meaning, but some of the halachas, he says. Let me just see. Yeah, Verov has Haris and a lot of the warnings. She's Hirano Zechreinim Levracha Al Rechilus via Lashon Hara Shutfu. Many of the halachas are similar between Rechilus and Lashon Hara, and he says they are explained where they are. I just want to show you. Oh, and he says like this: Amru, and it says about Lashon Hara. We know this. Shemaimis Ha'aimrei, so it kills, and it's terribly destructive for the one who's speaking and the one Vahamakablai, the one who is receiving. Vishanemar Allah, and the one who is being spoken about. And who is the worst of all, interestingly enough? Vahamakablai Yaiser Mikulan. The one who listens, in a sense, is the worst of all. Even though you would say the one who's saying it, but if they don't listen, then you'll stop the person from talking. You won't have who to talk to. Vizhiru Harbe Allah, and as we know, it's been many times warned, and the next part is from the Gemara, and it says it in parentheses in Hebrew. Mishi Yeshlai gives an example of Rechilus, which is such an extreme example that we might not realize, because Rechilus is gossiping, but gossiping is also to do with how we converse with another person. And he says that what we have to be careful, Mishi Yeshlai Tolo Bimishbachtai, if somebody has, whether they were punished by the death penalty and they were hung, or perhaps hung themselves in the family, somebody has somebody who had been hung in their family, so what shouldn't we do? We shouldn't say, Tlei Dag, hang up the fish. You understand what he's saying over here? Because people do that. Sometimes people subtly, very subtly, say something which... We're talking intention. Obviously, if you make a mistake, you make a mistake. And we're not, you know, but when you're thinking about what we say, you have to be careful with the language you use. If there's a sensitivity in the family, if there's perhaps something wrong in the family, whatever it may be careful and don't speak about it even in a different context, because that could be hurtful to the other person. And according to the Sefer HaChinuch, that fits under this general category of rechilus, because it means talking without thinking. You know, it's that kind of just... Talking for the sake of talking. And it can be extremely painful for other people. And as he says, Va'amru ki b'chlal avak lashon harahu. And another thing is, what's included in avak lashon hara, which is like the dust of lashon hara, which we would think is not even lashon hara, but we know is hu hamishabeyach haver b'mifnei sinai, if you praise somebody in front of somebody who doesn't like them, that's another problem. Don't do that. So don't speak about somebody when you know that there's somebody in the crowd who has a bit of a grudge against that person. Better don't bring up that person at all. So all these things show us the awareness that we have to have before we open our mouth. Okay, let's see number 12. Yes, sure, Sylvia.
And all this seems to fall away if it's for a shidduch.
Oh, very good question. Okay, you know what, I'll say it now because you brought it up. Mm-hmm. So it's a very interesting thing, and it actually comes in, a shidduch is one of the big examples, but it could come in many others. We said, what's the connection between the beginning of the pasuk and the end of the pasuk? The beginning of the pasuk says, don't gossip. The end of the pasuk is, don't stand by your brother's blood. Very connected. Because if by you zipping your mouth, you will harm somebody, then you do have to speak. So if it's like you say, if it's a shidduch, let's say, or if it's even a business venture, and you know somebody's going into it, and you know that this other person has a very dodgy past, and has in the past borrowed money, never returned it, all this kind of a thing, you have a responsibility to say something. So that's the connection between the beginning of the pasuk and the end of the pasuk. Obviously, there are laws. Directly, not gossiping, only when it's constructed, like if it's for a purpose, as privately as possible. But yeah, you're 100% right, Sylvia, and that's the connection. Quite a powerful thing how the pasuk puts it together. And it could even be something, it could be with many things, with health. If you know of a doctor who's made mistakes and you know and somebody else is using them, you have a responsibility. You might think, oh my gosh, I can't say anything, it'll ruin their retina. No, you have a responsibility. So yeah, it's not simple to know. Very fine line, Leia. You're 100% right, because sometimes it could be just that you personally didn't get along. So you have to be able, so that's why in these cases, you would ask a third party and somebody who's a bit objective. But sometimes it's not so, it's quite clear cut. Like if you know of somebody, again, if you know of somebody who has borrowed money repeatedly and not returned it, and they're going to somebody for a loan, you have a responsibility to tell that other person, don't lend the money. This person doesn't pay it back, right? You can't stand idly by and watch yet. It's just, no, that you can't do. And say, I'm not getting involved, you know, and I'm not going to talk rechilus, you know, there you're going to be very firm. Okay, so let's see number 12. He says like this, what's the root of the mitzvah not to stand by, it's still on the same page, Sheiresh mitzvah zu, not to stand by your brother's blood, yadua, it is known, Just like one person will save his friend, very interesting. If we feel responsible for each other, everybody will be responsible for each other. In other words, nowadays, it's actually a little bit different. The world is like that. You talk about minding your own business space, you know, and everybody says, don't be nosy. And I can sit and watch the other person doing everything that's going to cause them such harm, but I'll just keep my distance. Torah doesn't like that view. You stand by when you see your friend doing something that might cause them harm, and then when you need help, they'll be there for you. And this is a very interesting thing. Again, this could be, as we say, quite gray. So sometimes you see a person engaging in behaviors that are dangerous, that are destructive to them. A teenager, an older person even, and you see what they're starting to do. In the right way, you sit down with them, and hopefully if you love them, obviously it has to come from a place of care and love, and you say, this doesn't look like it's heading in the right direction. And you hope that when it's you, they'll do the same thing for you. And according to the Sefer HaChinuch, it's the only way, as we say, v'yisyashev ha'olam b'kach. That's how the world continues to exist and remain settled. Runs properly. Because if we keep too much to ourselves, it's no good. There's a balance, as we know, the fine line of the balance, and this is a very important thing. And he says, "Vahakel chafetz." Hashem wants biyishuv in that biyishuv that it should be in the settlement, so to speak, in the world. Why? Ki lasheves yitzara, that it should be a place where Hashem could dwell, that Hashem could feel comfortable, as we say. And this was explained in this. The halachas are explained in the Sechas Sanhedrin. And interesting, he says, this we do in every place, in all times, men, male, female, and somebody very interesting, v'ha'oiver aleha, somebody who transgresses, v'nimna, melahatzil, and he holds himself back and he doesn't save, v'yesh, as we said, v'yesh b'yecholos b'yada, and he has the ability to save, so he is able to and he doesn't, avar alav, then he's transgressing a negative commandment. The ain likin alav, but you don't get malchus, right? You cannot be taken to the court of law and punished for it. Why? Lefishu lav she'ain by maise, because there's no action. And how do you actually determine, you know, was the person able to, not able to, the only, and you didn't actually do anything, you just withheld from doing. So you can't actually punish in a beis din. But who will punish? Hashem will take care of it, as he says, because if somebody doesn't do something, then you can't punish. But in the other halachas, he also mentions that Hashem will take care. Hashem has his, you know, ways of keeping all the different cheshbeinus of what the person has to. I just want to show you one more before we finish. One beautiful al shich here. Again, talking about, remember we said last time, how one mitzvah led to the next. See how this continues from what we did previously. So you said it very, remember beforehand we were talking about the person cursing the deaf, and then they were going to go to court, and the judge was going to judge wrongly. So let's see what he says here. How does this connect? He says, v'da, she'im lo sase kein. If you will not do so, in other words, again, starting all the way from the beginning, won't pay the person on time, he says, oitais, if you're going to add, ligrein tai eves gedailais me'ela, even greater terrible negative things that will happen, abominable things that will happen. And what will that be? V'heim lo selech rachil. Why will you cause gossip? Because, if you think about what will happen, v'hu, ki haloi belechtech bebeisecha. Because when you go home, uschar pulasecha ein itcha, right? And you don't have your earnings, right? So as we said, you've come home, the person didn't pay you. Remember last week we said. So what happens? You come home, and v'sekalel, and then starts the cursing of the deaf because they don't hear it. Shetekalel v'taymer koyaseleilikim, and he says that, you know, you're going to get so upset that you might say God should punish him with this and this. La'asher to the rich person v'chayosif ba'anyi v'dalaisi, and like he should become poor and all of this. He says ki haloyes anyi v'yagia kefi. Because all of the difficulties and the hard work of my hands he saw, and he sent me home empty-handed anyways. He saw me working so hard, and he sent me home empty-handed. So he says like this, you're going to be cursing this, and what might happen, as we know, unfortunately, right, your mouth is going to be filled with cursing. There's always that peddler, that gossiper, and he hears. And he hears the curses. So what will he do in his self-righteousness? He might even feel very justified. He might go and tell the employer that he's being cursed. Why will he do that? What logic does he have in his mind to dare do that? Because what might he think? He might think that this poor person, he says, he's so angry. To me, it looks like he's about to go harm his employer. So I better go warn the employer that he should be on guard and tell him what this person is saying about him. So here you see, now comes the next step, the gossiping. What might happen even after that is something even worse. What might the employer do when he hears that this person is cursing him in such terrible ways and my life is in danger? So he might feel justified in harming this poor person that he was supposed to pay on time that he didn't, because he's now self-defense, standing up for his own life. Because look, that person is saying such terrible things. Obviously he's going to do it, and I better have self-defense, so therefore I can do whatever it is that I need to do. And one thing, as the Al-Shukh shows, leads to another in such a negative domino effect. I just want to see one more thing as he says. Oh, and he says, why shouldn't you tell? Maybe the person's life is in danger. So he says, leave it to Hashem. Hashem will protect the employer. It's not your business to get involved. This person's really just letting off steam, obviously. But it's not your business. Hashem will protect the employer. We said before, you shouldn't stand idly by your brother's blood. But this is meddling. So you see, as we say, that fine line, this is really going beyond that. This is not standing idly. This is actually endangering more people's lives in your distorted way of thinking. So it's actually interesting. This comes sometimes from the person's need to gossip. It distorts the way you think. That's what it does, and you justify it in your own mind.
Need to gossip.
Yes. That's what he says. That's why he says, oh, you might say, oh, I'm not going to stand idly by my brother's blood. That's why I have to go tell him. So that's what the Al-Shukh says. Don't worry, leave it to Hashem. Hashem will take care of it. Hashem will manage the situation. Just don't make the negativity continue to, cause more negativity, so to speak. Okay, I think that's all I wanted to do from this part. But you mentioned next week we'll do, I wanted to do more today, but next week we'll do the other mitzvah of Shalai Lisnai Achim. Okay, and about Taichiach. But you mentioned a very important point before, Sylvia, about being careful about if you do have information that is important to save somebody's life, we shouldn't withhold it. I wanted to see if there was a... No, other things come later. All right. I think we'll stop here. I know it's still another 5 minutes, but we'll stop here because the next part is on the next pasuk of Vaisisna Sachicha Bilvavecha. You shouldn't hate your fellow in your heart. Okay. Mm-hmm.